This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefan Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And welcome to another edition of Feminist Book Club. But before we start, I just realized, Annie, are you wearing a llama shirt? Is that a llama sweatshirt? Like a just sweater? I'm looking at you in our screen. I'm realizing there's an animal. Is it a llama?
It is a llama.
Okay. I want you to know, listeners, I'm staring at her llama sweater very hard right now because I just realized.
This llama sweater, I bought it in Peru. It is the warmest sweater I have. And people compliment me on this. It is the goofiest looking fuzzy sweater, listeners. It is very goofy. But people compliment me on this all the time.
It's a nice sweater. For, like, the way the angle is, I almost thought it was a poncho, which is why I started staring closer. Yeah. And I was like, there's a square on its back. I'm just trying to figure out what all it is.
It's kind of, there's a lot of things happening here.
Okay. All right. All right. Listeners, I hope you have a picture of what Annie's wearing, because I am definitely not as cute as she is right now, but I'm like, she's got a llama sweater on. That's fantastic. But anyway, that has nothing to do with this book.
Okay.
I just had to bring this up.
Yeah, all right.
But yeah, so we are doing a little something different for our feminist book club, because, you know, we like to switch it up. You know we
yes.
do. And decided we would do a whole play instead of just a book. But we should tell you it is a very short play. So if you are seeking to do a native or indigenous play, and you just want to, it's kind of like a one act. It's not a complete one act, but it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's about like, what, 60 pages long?
Yeah, 60 to 70.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on the back, did you notice that they have a recipe?
Yes,
I want to make this recipe. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm building up this play, but I want to try this recipe, by the way.
Yes.
Also, before we start, Annie, did you do plays? Have you done plays? I know you've acted and you've been in movies. Have you been in plays?
I have. And actually, we had longer. I have a lot of stories.
Oh.
I have. I was in drama in high school, which I know we've talked about. And I acted in a few plays then. I was not great. I was very shy and I couldn't project my voice very well. And it was the type of thing where you can tell someone's nervous, so it makes you nervous, you know? Comfortable watching them because you can tell they're so uncomfortable and nervous. And then when I started to pursue acting like more seriously when I got older and out of high school and college, I took classes that would culminate in plays. And I did some that were really, really dark. And then my drama teacher was like, I know the challenge for you. And he gave me a role and I had to have a Brooklyn accent. And it was a comedy. And I was like, you monster. You know I'm scared of comedy and accents. And he was like, yep.
Here we go. I actually excelled at comedy. So yeah, we talked about drama. I did drama in high school. That's the only time I really missed it. But I'm also very lazy and don't like to memorize lines. This is where I'm like, I know I couldn't do well because I would flub all of my auditions because I wouldn't memorize it. I was a great actor, bad at memorizing. Mm-hmm. But I am a part of the Thespian Society. Yo. Who's with me? Who else?
Look at that.
Because my first play, I was a stage manager, and that is so much work. She just really thought, my teacher, Miss Miller, shout out RIP. She was an amazing teacher, my favorite teacher. She was like, you're so organized and detailed. Let me put you as the stage manager. Having no experience in theater, it was my first play. And I was like, what is happening? And it happened to be a competition play. I think we actually scored third on that one, though. But yeah, so it was rough. It was rough. But I was in Noises Off, and that was probably one of my favorite plays to do. And it's really complicated with a lot of like meta types of things. And my character was quite funny, I thought. And then even to the point that people complimented me and said, you know, it was at this moment that I saw you get into your character. You became that character. And I was like, what? I was a little confused because I was like, oh, if you say so, sure. But I loved it. Shout out to all my drama people from my high school, Gilmer High School. You know who you are. They don't listen to this. Why am I saying this? Shout out to my niece. She's my youngest niece, who is a part of that same theater program. And she is working on trying to get into the Thespian Society as well. Mm-hmm. Very proud of her. So yes, not to give myself airs.
Oh, you should.
But I do have my name on a plaque in my high school.
Nice. That's what it's all about, Samantha.
No one else knows. There you go. But you know, I love plays. I love the setups. I love reading the books and reading the plays because it felt like real life. It made more sense to me sometimes than books do with all the descriptors because it kind of gives you direction and then you fill it in with yourself. And I love that build up, which is a great thing to this play. And I won't lie. So y'all, we are doing a short play called Salt Baby, which was written by Phelan Johnson, who is a part of the Mohawk and Tuscarora from Six Nations Grand River Territory. And it's a beautiful play, but it kind of felt like, I'm like, if I was to write a play, I feel like it would be similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're going to talk about the themes about it, but just like her expressions and her immediate like reactions to things and the defensiveness of like, yeah, okay, that's too real. This is too real. But I really loved this whole aspect and it felt really nice to read it in this format. Because it's been so long, and I do, again, I miss that kind of read-throughs.
Mm-hmm.
I miss it. Do you miss it?
I do miss it. I do. I think it was something that really, I actually feel this way about podcasting too, though. Performance in general, anytime I would read a play, I'd have so much stress about it, and I'd be so worried about it. But then when I would do it, I'd be like, I love this, though.
Exhilarated, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way about podcasting because I can't hide behind a character. I really wish we could. We need to try that sometime. Let's speak completely. let's play each other.
Oh, no. That could be hilarious.
Could you imagine?
And terrible.
Oh, my God. But yeah, so we are doing a play today. Again, it is by Phelan Johnson, who is from the Six Nations Grand River Territory, I believe in Canada. But, you know, territories are a little different. Mm-hmm. And as we talk about what she has done in this play, yes, she explores her identity, how as a white-presenting First Nations woman, she tries to dig deeper into her family history and her connection to her heritage. And it is a beautiful tale.
It is. It's also funny.
Yes.
It's very, very funny. I think it's spot on with a lot of when you're that age, which was like young college age, kind of the the dialogue that you have, I thought nailed it. There were certain, it was great in describing things and painting pictures, and there were certain parts where I was like, I wish I could have seen this play.
Right.
Because I could tell, like, I bet that's a really cool, simple, but really cool visual cue.
Right.
So if any listeners have seen it, right. Please let us know.
It's been staged a few times. Mm-hmm. I did get to see a couple of clips by one school that performed it, and it was super interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And like we said, it's really short. So this one's going to be probably a shorter episode, but there is a lot of ground covered in it for sure. So Johnson studied at George Brown Theater School and has been in the theater world for a while with several plays and productions under her name. When she was interviewed about her play, Salt Baby, she said, "Storytelling is storytelling. It's part of us. Six Nations, for instance, has a long history of pageant theater."
Right. And this was in reference to like them talking about theater versus storytelling and what this looked like, and then kind of the European standard of theater. And she's like, well, we've been around a lot longer. And of course they have.
Right, exactly. And when she was asked about why she wrote Salt Baby, she said, "I couldn't afford therapy. It astonishes me that I wrote it. I am grateful to my younger self. It's harsh in some ways. When you are 20, you have stuff to process. I think I'm more over my now, but it's strange looking back and seeing yourself." And I totally, totally agree.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
When you go back and read something, which is kind of what we're doing on Spinty Fiction, but like when you, it's such a snapshot of what you were going through at the time and you don't realize it maybe, or you didn't know how to deal with it back then. And it's like, ooh, I wasn't dealing with this correctly. I was trying to work my way through this. It is really interesting. And this play, you can feel it. Like you can feel how honest it is. And like I said, from that time of her life.
Right. I'm not going to lie, again, I really wish I could get it back into my Zanga site so I can see my own angst in 20.
I do too, Samantha, so desperately.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
All All right, so let's get into the play. We're introduced to Salt Baby, an alligator, a white boy, on their first date. And it goes as expected. A white boy asking a native person about her history for a lesson in the Mohawk language and awkwardly joking about being just white. Of course, we're going to dig deeper into that in a bit, but I've definitely been there. Not native, but being Korean. Mm-hmm. We cut to seeing her grandfather during this date in the background. So it's kind of like the ancestral voice talking, talking to her and sometimes with her. So they're kind of saying the same thing. He continues to be a background voice, again, in an ancestral voice that comes back.
Yeah, which is one of the things I was talking to you about when I'm saying, like, I bet visually this is really interesting and, like, vocally. But yeah, it's very clear and very interesting. So we later meet her father, who still lives on the reservation and is an avid hunter, a proud Native man. Their relationship is loving and nurturing, but still a bit tense as her looking deeper into her own DNA and identity makes him uncomfortable. Later, we see that her and Alligator have moved forward in their relationship, and a part of their relationship is the conversation of him not understanding her crisis in identity. She soon decides to seek out more information on her ancestry and her own genetic makeup. She's always said that she was 3/4 or over half Native, but her physical appearance, which is white presenting, makes her wonder about that.
And we see Salt Baby continuing her journey through meditation, a psychic, and finally an actual DNA test. I don't think we actually ever get results, though. Throughout this time, she is struggling in her relationship with Alligator and how she wants to make sure that she can hold on to her Native identity and, again, pass it on to her children. Also, he's very white, so making problematic comments and a little bit of microaggression towards her as well. And here we see some awkward interactions with the partner's parents. It's really... we have drunkenness and fighting and again, uncomfortable microaggressions from the white parents, which is like, who wants to be around a couple fighting? And then the macho-ness from the Salt Baby's father. Literally, he comes out with bloody hands from cutting up a deer. So, yeah. You know, interesting reactions. Unfortunately, they soon break up. And she tries to dig more into her Native traditions. They talk about different things. And on dates with Native men, one specific date doesn't go so well. She runs into the white boyfriend, has a conversation with her and the grandfather, the ancestral grandfather, talking about, oh, he wasn't that bad, was he? The end.
Yeah. And I think that's... That's when she talks with her father about, which, by the way, the white boyfriend Alligator stole her father's toothbrush.
Yes.
So she could get DNA from it from the test. And in the end, she decides not to go through with the DNA test because her father, she just realizes like, oh, no, you've told me this story. And he tells her the story of why she's called Salt Baby. Mm-hmm. And so... It does have a lot of awkward social interactions in it.
Right.
For sure.
Right. I think, again, there's several things to this. Again, the father does finally relent and say, this is something you need. I'm here for you, whatever, whatnot. We know that the mother is not present. She left and she says that she went on to be more white. So it was a very interesting conversation. Yeah. And again, this is part of her identity crisis and trying to figure this out, but still very serious about clinging to her ancestry and her Native background, which was really interesting. Again, if you have time, it's literally like a 30-minute read, if that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's quick. It is kind of hard to get a hold of. We had a bit of a trouble finding it, tracking it down, but we did it.
It was important that we read this because we was like, this is something that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so... There are some themes, and of course we want to get into that and have a little bit of discussion because as much of a play it is a conversation about her going through a lot of changes to where she is today, which she's talked about how she is happy, who she is, and learned so much, but it took a while to get there. And of course, one of the big themes, identity. She's trying to seek who she is and is she truly a Native and how much of a Native, because that was a conversation that's been had and we'll talk about that in a minute. But you know, just on a personal note, of course, you know, I know this feeling of trying to figure myself out, being told I act more white has recently been a problem to me as when I was younger. That's what I wanted to identify as because that seemed like the better choice, you know, in the world. and then realizing, oh no, I'm losing everything about myself. I've lost so much. There's part of my identity that's been cut from me. Coming to this, trying to figure out what this looks like. And for her, her conversation was being white presenting, even to the point that the boyfriend actually says, wouldn't you rather have that? Isn't that better to seem like you're white and you can choose to be that? And I was like, oh,
yeah.
It felt gross.
It was gross. I mean, a lot of their conversations were pretty gross. And it, like, she describes that sense of unblogging and having this like panic around it of like, what if I discover, if I take this DNA test and I discover something, and you know, she goes to the psychic and she does all these things that we talked about because she's like trying to find her identity and trying to find meaning. And she's very like got a lot of tension around it. Mm-hmm. And it opens with her talking about her kind of like indigenous card that's going to inspire in Canada, which comes up a lot. So there was a lot of discussion around like particularly Canadian policies and attitudes around indigenous people.
Right. And actually one of the things that we do want to mention, because it was brought up when we were searching things, was the controversial idea of blood quantum. And we're not going to go too deep into it because, again, it is controversial. But if just in case you didn't know, it's a, according to the NPR, a highly controversial measurement of the amount of native blood you have. It can affect your identity, your relationships, or whether or not you or your children may become a citizen of your tribe. So it's a big conversation, as in fact, I know recently on TikTok, a big creator who has come out as being problematic, who is Native, had brought up the fact that if, literally just saying, if you look white, then you're white. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way because it was that blood quantum conversation for Native individuals specifically, who understand that there is problematic conversations when you have white people saying, I'm 1/20th. So-and-so, and you're like, what the hell? Like, you really want to punch somebody. But the truth is, there are people who are white-presenting who already struggled not being identified as one way and being dismissed another way. So it's kind of this whole big conversation. And this is one of our things, this is not looking Native enough to come through. And then having people come to them and be like, oh, yeah, I am also 1/8 something. And then feeling like, okay, this is a problem in itself. And of course, it seems to me this may be white supremacy in itself to measure you and push you against your own community. So that's a deeper conversation we're not going to have. But it is interesting to see. And I know when it comes to people that are multi-race have the need to prove themselves one way or another. And it's really disheartening for that individual. I could only imagine, because it feels bad enough as actual, according to my 23andMe DNA that says I am 99% Korean and nothing else. Don't ask, don't look, don't go anywhere else. To try to figure out trying to be that in a community that oftentimes won't accept me as that. So there's just this level of balance in having this type of controversial term floating about. I couldn't imagine what that looks like.
Yeah. And we see that throughout the play of her, of Salt Baby. Like the date at the end with the guy she found through like indigenous dating site and him making her feel like she's not Native enough. And then seeing, you know, her mom going this way and kind of being like, no, I'd rather be white passing, more white, and hearing it from her boyfriend and then feeling this pressure internally, but, you know, also from her family of like, you know, you need to have a Native baby and it's like your responsibility because that's just how this system works. And just all these like forces kind of like she's at sea and just on a really rocky sea, just buffeting her about of like when she's trying to figure out who she is and she's got all of these things just constantly confronting her.
Right. And of course, there's also the small fear that she's not what she claims. Mm-hmm. And she kind of talks about that in this conversation of like, you'll always be this, you'll, no matter what you are. And the grandfather saying you're a fighter. This is who you are. So don't let that past this is a part of my blood in you, essentially, mm-hmm. was that conversation. And it was interesting. Speaking of the grandfather, of course, we have a theme around family, whether it's the really obnoxious white family who he called normal, and then they're like more disruptive.
Like, immediately, imagine a dinner party where it goes from 0 to 170 in, like, 1 minute.
Literally, all they're doing is bickering, and it's so uncomfortable. Crying. We've definitely been around people where you're like, well, that was awkward, and everybody just abruptly leaves, and you sit in silence.
Yeah, and then they just ran off with the wine. We're like, we're leaving. We're not going to say goodbye. This is the first time they met her.
Right. And she's like, well, bye. Well, bye. Yeah. Well, bye. Okay. But then you have her father, who she's obviously very close to. And then her, I believe, cousin Clara, who is like telling her, don't get the DNA. They're going to have your information. Don't do this to yourself, which, you know, it's not. She's not wrong. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, whether or not they use it against indigenous people, which also, she's probably not wrong, mm-hmm. but also has the famous recipe that we're talking about, the grandmother's recipe that she cooks for her. Mm-hmm. It's quite delightful, and I really do want to make these cookies. But it's a sweet interaction, but obviously all those things are important. And Clara is the one that knows the oral history of the family. Her father's mm-hmm. like, go talk to Clara. She knows, so she goes to visit to get more information, which we don't get too much more information, maybe purposeful. Mm-hmm. But they talk about the importance of oral history and why they do this. And then they do have this big conversation of the lack of history for Indigenous people and First Nations because the government were cruel and wanted to decimate a whole community of people and whole culture because colonization. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting take and like look at what they were talking about, how they do look at like ancestral histories and what they have to do to make sure that it remains alive.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's especially interesting given we're reading this play, right? But also, as you said, there's this ancestral voice of her grandfather throughout. And there's even parts of like a ghostly voice of her father or the grandfather speaking through her father. And I thought that was a really interesting take on sort of that oral history. And there's one part that's really funny where the grandfather's observing her on this date with Alligator. And he's kind of like making comments and she's almost having a conversation with him, but makes it look normal, I guess. It's really, really interesting. Like the boyfriend's not like, who are you talking to? Is what I'm trying to say. But kind of that dialogue of the past of someone who's not with you anymore, but you still carry. And then that was one of my favorite things at the end is when she looks at her hands and she says, I used to think my hands were so ugly, like manly hands, but they're my grandfather's hands. And so it's like a piece of him is with me. So yeah, I think that's, it was really eloquent and beautiful way to kind of demonstrate that oral history, but also just that ancestral history.
Right. And yeah, it's a good connection. Again, I think it's interesting to see how they talk about the different nations coming through and what that seems like. And they were talking about the switching, and that wasn't interesting. I don't know much about that. Again, I know you listeners are like, what? And essentially, people trying to continue the community, specifically whether it's Mohawk or whether it was Tuscarora, like making sure that children were born within those communities to continue on their heritage. And I thought that was interesting in this conversation itself, which I don't know much about that history, which we should probably. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back to. But yeah, there's the lineage and continuing a community, a continuing a group of people, which is something that's important, especially when you have colonizers trying to wipe you out. Mm-hmm. You know, this whole thing.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Here's something that I found interesting, and I was felt very relatable in this theme, the interracial dating or the, it's a whole other conversation. And I say this as, again, I'm adopted, so of course it's not foreign to me. It's not like I'm actually coming from an Asian family with Asian disapproval for being with a white man in general, but when trying to get trying to express what is happening in my life and why it is important or what it looks like when people are being racist or prejudiced towards me and the fact that I get looks that he doesn't understand. Same thing that happened with my parents who would say they're just looking at you because they're jealous or whatever, or they think you're pretty. I was like, no, that's not what's happening. And you are dismissing how I'm feeling, which he does often in this mm-hmm. relationship. And it gets into the way, especially when she's trying to hone in on her identity, but then him feeling like that she is accusing him for the mistakes. Again, we're not going to go too deep into it because I think Johnson had a lot more grace to the idea that she may have so many emotional ties and emotional reactions because she was in the middle of trying to find her identity and finding him so insensitive to what she was going through, that she comes back and is laughing. She's like, I could have handled this differently. So kind of that. But at the same time, I'm like, nah, it's a problem. He's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the clearest examples is when she comes back. He's like playing video games and she's struggling with this like identity crisis. And the first thing he thinks is, this means we can go get drinks, right? Because yeah. She had to wait 4 days to get drinks.
Yeah.
Based on this ritual she went through. That was his first, like, we can go get drinks now, right?
Right.
Just thinking about himself and clearly not listening to her, trying to understand at all what she was going through.
You're right. I mean, they did have a conversation about having children, as we mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, and she was like, I don't want to have children with you. I would have children with a Native person. And he was very offended. And I get that, like, to the point of like, wait, what? Then what are we doing here? Are we long-term or are we not? And the fact that, well, like, is this going to make it to the future? What is happening? What was the point of this relationship? And a lot of the conflicts are the fact that he isn't Native. So he can't understand. And that seems understandable to me. Like, if a thing doesn't work because that's not where you are. Again, like I said, she has a push and pull of being a little self-effacing. And so she's like, you know, I did these things. And she's not wrong on that. But again, like, the bigger picture, when we come back to what is important to you, and if it isn't and it doesn't align, then yeah, it won't work.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like how... And I can see there are definitely problematic aspects to this too. But I liked how her father and her grandfather were kind of like, yeah, you're skinny, but are you happy? Like, yeah. They were always kind of like, you're happy? All right, that's good enough.
Right. And again, so he's a vegetarian too. So he's a white vegetarian dude coming to the home of a man who hunts and eats his own hunt. Like, he cares for himself and lives off the land, kind of. But like, and loves UFC fighting. So, you know, all the things that he would hate. So it was quite funny to see that interaction as well. But I think it's interesting that, yeah, they were very accepting. Even, again, at the end when the grandfather was like, yeah, he wasn't that bad.
It was kind of again, this is a funny play. So it was kind of just like, yeah. Were you happy?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. If he makes you happy, okay. You do you. Not going to last. They did say that a couple times. Not going to last, but okay.
Yeah.
You do you. Yes. And it's not a theme, but I think it's important that we talk about it because Johnson felt that it was important. The humor in this play, as in the fact she talked about it in another interview. And in the interview, they said, Johnson is a great believer in humor as a conduit to a play's inner language and content. She's quoted in saying, it's a tool. It allows us access. People may approach our indigenous content as scary, but they feel safe when they can laugh. It's a way in and a way for people to relate. Again, she is much kinder than she has to be then for those of us that are not indigenous in trying to make people feel comfortable to understand where she's coming from or what she saw, or just it's just understanding a little more of the indigenous culture. But yeah, that she felt that it was important that for her to use this play in this way. And I think that's something that's important that we need to talk about for her doing this for us. I feel like she does it for the audience. Also, I have a feeling she is, as I was saying, self-effacing, jokes about herself enough to like not take herself too seriously, but in understanding this is something that happened and this is something that needs to be talked about. So trying to find that balance for her own personality as well.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the humor really does shine through in this, and her personality and her humor really shines through in this, because it's a lot of it is very serious subject material, but I was laughing quite a few times.
Like, yeah. 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 Just whether it's just dating in general and having like the moment of like, what I just say type of thing. You know, like being aware, very aware of like, oh, that did not make sense. I'm going to move on with it. Or this doesn't make sense. I'm going to move on with it, which I do often. I'm like, okay, keep going. And also, again, white people asking the typical, like, say this for me. What does this say? What do you sound like? You know, all of those things, which happens often, which, again, yeah, we laugh. We laugh about it to a point that to make people more comfortable, which is not necessarily something that she should have to do or we should have to do in general, but we do. That's what happens. That's what we've learned to make outsiders feel comfortable and or us as the outsiders feel more accepted, which is in itself a conversation. But I think it's interesting because you and I had this conversation that the atrocities that the Native community has gone through, it does feel like a lot of deep, serious content and wading through and trying to make sure we do it appropriately and giving it all the respect that they deserve. It deserves, because it is a serious conversation. We know what's happening with the Indian Child Welfare Act right now, and it is, I hate it. And these are things that are an attack on the Native people, the Native community, and the Indigenous people that continues to suppress and oppress them as a culture and as a society at whole. And I think that's part of the thing that she was talking about, is like, we don't have to always be this serious. And that was that other part, is it's tragedy porn in that people watch for the instead of appreciating that it's not always this way, and that they are human and that they have experienced several emotions, and it doesn't have to be. I think Reservation Dogs have a great concept of this as well. I know there was conversation of it being problematic in itself, but the content that they give is through a humorous lens, because it's not. It's people are happy. Indigenous people, for most part, are happy in their community. And if they're in a good community and feel safe with their family, it's not that. It's not this whole welfare level of like, everybody's so miserable and dismayed. And to pretend that's the entirety of its culture is offensive too.
Yeah, which we've talked about that a lot, kind of erasing the joy and fullness that marginalized people's lives have. So I'm very glad that we read this. I'm glad that we were able to find it.
Yes.
And I very, very much enjoyed it and recommend it.
Yes. Yeah, so if you have time, it is, if you can find it at your local bookstore, do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you can't, Amazon does have it. For a marginal amount. The money does go still to her, part of the money anyway. And we should. We should celebrate it. Plays like this and hope for more, because there's not enough Native Indigenous content when it comes to plays and being on stage. And I would love to see more.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. And as always, listeners, if you have any suggestions for what we should cover next, be it play or book or comic.
Ooh.
Yes. Please let us know. You can email us at stephaniamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram @StuffI've Never Told You. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina.
Thank you, Christina.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I've Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.